I am an anomaly.
Anemone.
I am an anomaly.
A-S-O.
I am an anomaly.
Anomaly.
An anomaly.
Anomaly. Something that deviates from what is standard, normal, or expected. An oddity, peculiarity, irregularity, inconsistency, incongruity, a rarity.
Hello and welcome to the Anomaly Podcast. I'm Jen, and I keep my lightsaber near my nightstand, and I am an anomaly.
My name is Angela, and when I gave birth to my almost one-year-old girl, I watched the entire Lord of the Rings trilogy. My dog turned it off during the Battle of Pelennor Fields because it was stressing her out, and I am an anomaly.
Welcome to the podcast.
Do you like that one?
I do.
Like, a lot of women will bring candles or soft music while they're in labor, and I wanted to watch the Lord of the Rings trilogy. Lord of the Rings calms me.
Your doctor delivered my child, too. Not much can stress her out.
No, but evidently orcs do.
Orcs do.
She was like, will someone please turn that off? And I was all, just close the laptop.
I never heard that. That's awesome.
But anyway, I had totally forgotten about it, but something made me think of it today, and I was like, that is a perfect story for our anniversary.
Yes.
It really is. Like, that is an anomaly thing. That's something an anomaly would do. And especially because she's about to turn one.
Yeah.
She's going to be one in 4 days or something. Crazy.
It's hard to believe. Time flies.
It really does. It really does.
Speaking of flying time.
Ooh, right? Okay, I feel like an idiot, too, because for the past, 6 months, I have been thinking that we have been doing this for 10 years. But I thought it was 10 years recording and 9 years on iTunes, but it's actually 9 years recording and eight years
on iTunes.
Next year, we'll have to have, a huge party, because then that'll be, the official 10 years.
Yeah, like a real, a party that we invite people to.
I think that'll be acceptable.
Yeah. I realized the same thing, because in the last episode we were talking about, wow, we've been on for almost 10 years. We said almost, because saying how old a podcast is isn't like admitting how old we are. So we're still like little kids going, I'm 10 years old, you know, and really
what's
nine.
What's weird to me, though, is that because we're on some Facebook podcast groups now, and there are people who are just starting podcasting or who feel like they've been doing it for a long time, and they've been doing it for all of 5 years. We've been doing this for a long time. It's crazy.
In the realm of podcasting,
it is.
It's a long time for a business, too, to be honest. I mean,
well,
3 years, they say, after 3 years of having a business, then usually you start seeing some growth. Mm-hmm. I don't think we've really seen much growth. We've always stayed kind of niche. We're kind of a niche show.
We are, but
we like to have a small audience who interacts with us a lot, and
I want us to just do what we want to do. If that's resonating with people, that's awesome. But then I also would rather resonate with just a few people than do a bunch of weird tricks and not really be who we are.
Yeah.
And get a giant audience. You know what I mean?
Right.
But I do think we're in a situation where we can probably blow it up a little bit more, because I think the anomaly message needs to get out there.
When we first started our show, there weren't a lot of women who admitted to being geeky. It wasn't as cool, right? To admit that you're a geek.
Yeah.
So that was kind of like where I was coming from, because I was kind of a closet geek.
And
the show was my catharsis.
That was literally the first show that went up on iTunes was called Hiding Your Geek. And I think that really what we've seen is that around that time is when things started to shift. We didn't know that. And then also because of our ages, we were in a world where it was not cool to like this stuff.
Yeah,
so,
definitely not.
So it was our experience that we did kind of have to fight to be part of the conversation, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Or to be part of the conversation without some kind of gimmick. I don't know. I don't know how to explain it.
I think I know what you mean. We've said it before. When we first started listening to podcasts, we were desperate to find other podcasts that were hosted by women only. We have some great friends who are guys, and we
they
love
have
their
great
shows.
Podcasts.
We wanted to hear women who agreed with us, you know, because we just were trying to connect with other people like us. And the only ones we came across, except for a very small minority,
were
women who were flirting with their audiences. And it was all about them being sexy geeks instead of just being geeks.
Being part of the conversation and that your point of view is your point of view, regardless of the fact that you're a guy or a girl or whatever. We also wanted something in between because we didn't want the podcast to be all about the fact that we were women. Being an anomaly is about maintaining that balance between acknowledging that we're women and that being the entire essence of the show.
In the beginning, we described ourselves as anomalies because people were surprised sometimes to learn that we were geeks or we were into things like that. In my case, that's what made me hide it because I'm the type of person who doesn't like for people to make a big deal about anything that I'm wearing or doing or, you know, I just don't like anyone to notice that kind of attention at all. I don't like it. I don't. Except for, oddly enough, when I'm at a convention, then that's when I want people to notice.
Yes, but that's a totally different conversation. And that's why it's good that you met me because I do like people to notice me. Well, yeah.
So anomaly was supposed to be like people who were different. We're not geeks. We're not normal, whatever normal means. We were just flying low under the radar, being who we wanted to be, geeking what we wanted to geek out about, you know?
Well, the other thing is that we jokingly call non-geeks muggles. Thank you, J.K. Rowling, for doing that for us. I don't even know if she knew that she did that, but that's how I'm adopting it nowadays. And everybody who is a geek kind of knows what I mean. And there are muggles out there, and it is totally fine. I'm related to some.
Me too.
I'm related and love many muggles, and I do not begrudge them for being so, but they're not us. And when you are in a world with your tribe and as anomalies, when you find that group of people who has that kind of same sensibility that you do, that gets the same references that you do and all of that kind of stuff, that's cool. It is. It's being part of a community. There was this idea a long time ago that those things were mutually exclusive. That you either had to be a total nerd or you had to be totally mainstream. We wanted to introduce the idea that you don't have to like go all in to either. You can get your nails done and go to a convention. You can take care of yourself and have a normal job and still want to kill people in a first-person shooter when you get home. Those are things you can do. And it just so happens that when it comes to women, we have to do a better job of hiding it. Or at one point we did. You know, that's why it came along.
Yes. Men have been calling themselves anomalies. Not just women are embracing it, but men too. And at first we're like, no, guys, you are singularities. We are anomalies. But I think we've gotten to the point where it's like, whatever. You can be in our club too. Call yourself an anomaly. But it started out being what we called ourselves as women.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I'm okay with it because I love that when I've really been able to connect with people and explain what the idea of an anomaly is, they just jump in, especially when we've done it face to face. Now, the podcast, obviously, but there's just been random people I've run into. Noah, that's how I met Noah.
Yeah, our friend Noah.
I randomly ran into him. We've told the story on the podcast before, but it's like I could tell he had a totally normal job doing normal things. And we were in our normal life environment when we met. And I just happened to notice something that made me think he might be a geek. And so I gave him an anomaly card. And now the rest is history. Now he's like one of our anomaly friends. You know, he's our booth babe. And Noah wasn't trying to be one thing or another. He just was being himself. So I think that's just as much of an anomaly as we are. I'm okay with anomaly being for everyone, you know?
No, we don't like to be excluded as women. But recently, like, I'll post a Star Trek episode that we've done on a Star Trek group on Google Plus, which Google Plus is not really popular, but I still have
to go on Google Plus in order to search engines.
But there are forums and there are groups who think if you have an opinion that's different than theirs and if you're a woman, you must be a fake fan because your opinion does not align with theirs. And oh my gosh, I just recently ran into that and it hurt. It bugs me. And I think that having a group like Anomaly, you know, it's like a place where you can retreat to, where people like, they're like, it's okay to be, it's okay to have your opinions and to be the way you are. Don't listen to those people.
Not to know every single thing.
There's Why do you have to spout stats?
Right. You know? There's some situations in which one of us may have a lot of extra knowledge about something. Right. And so we can like get in there with you and talk about it and be all over it. But there's some things that we are only partially interested in. Or maybe we have a brain fart and we don't remember the name of an episode. We're not going to criticize you for that. Now, I do criticize Jen for liking Jedi over Empire, but that's just a difference of opinion that we have to deal with.
And I criticize you for not reading more.
You are allowed to criticize me for not reading more. I accept that and I understand. And I should read more. I totally agree.
Oh, I'm just kidding.
Also, thank you for giving me those audiobooks.
Okay, good.
I'll tell you a story about that later, but
awesome.
Thank you very much for that.
You're welcome.
So I guess that makes sense. Now I feel like we've gone like, I always joke that we waffle on. We have to give a little
shout out to our friends
in England, because that does explain sometimes what happens in all podcasts. Unless it's super produced, your podcast does tend to waffle on.
But you know, I have noticed a lot of times people in iTunes reviews or whatever, they always label our show as conversational.
Really?
That's something that appeals to them. Because it's something that they feel like they're a part of, a conversation they're just listening to, but they can jump in at any point by going to our Facebook group or tweeting us or sending in a voicemail or whatever. Yeah, I kind of like just being conversational and not having notes that we just read, you know, as we're going through the show. And
I want the listener to feel like they're in a conversation with their friends.
Yeah.
You know, I hope that that's what we're doing. There's been times when I've listened to episodes that we recorded like 5 years ago. And I haven't seen you in a while. And I thought in my brain, I just talked to you.
Because, I feel that way too sometimes.
You know what I mean? Like I'll listen to it or I'll think, oh, I have something to add to that now.
I've felt that way. Also, I noticed
that our voices have gotten lower. Mine has. Yeah.
It might also be because our microphones are better.
Microphones are better.
And we've upgraded our equipment and our recording style.
True. But they say that as you get older, and that's just life. Yeah. As you get older, your voice does tend to deepen. I can tell a difference. I don't think it's bad because I think that both of us have okay voice qualities. I mean, I don't mean to pat myself on the back, but I am pretty awesome.
It's kind of like a violin. It gets better with age, right?
Yes, and that's okay. Hopefully. So I'm actually having a milestone birthday this year.
You are. I had mine almost two years ago. But you,
well, no,
the, welcome to the year, club, another that, club.
That's why this year we have to have your towel party. Yes. Okay. We'll have my party because it's going to be epic and awesome for my 40th. And then we're going to have your towel party. Are you okay with that?
Mm-hmm.
Have you read Hitchhiker's Guide?
I am in the process of listening to it on audiobook.
You're going
to
do it before your birthday so that we can have this all.
Okay.
And so that you're like prepared and we're all going to dress up and it'll be hilarious and completely ridiculous. We'll make meds fly in. I don't know. Meds, if you're listening, pack your bags and book your plane ticket.
And bring the cute little girl and your wife with you too.
Oh my gosh, that would be so awesome. We'll talk to him later.
Yeah.
But yeah, that would be great. So we have to have your towel party. Oh, I love it. Please let me plan it.
Okay.
It's done already.
Well, we started our show like we were saying, like 9 years ago.
Yes.
And we've mentioned it before. At first, we were just recording and sticking them up on a website and going, okay, there's a podcast. You know, nobody knew about it.
Well, because it was hard at that time to get stuff on.
It was. It was a little, the technology was a little rougher. And also, we weren't as confident in how to do it. And oh my gosh, having friends like Rico Dosti from Treks and Sci-Fi was a godsend because not only did he encourage us to go out on our own and do our own show, we were part of his forum and he knew that we were good friends and we were always talking about geeky stuff. And he was like, you two need your own show. And we were already kind of laughing about it to ourselves saying, you know what? We could totally do this. We should just record our conversations because we have these kinds of conversations every day at work. Anyway, so Rico was influential in that he encourage us to go out on our own, start our own show. And then he also helped us like figure out the technology that was required to putting up a podcast and using Pamela and Feed for All. Remember Feed for All and stuff like that?
I have a screenshot I was going through some old files and I found the screenshot of all the different, I think that Rico made me, of the feed for all stuff, to like mm-hmm. how to get it in there. Every little thing that you have to do. And oh yeah, it was a hot mess.
Yeah. And for a while, like when we would post our shows to our website, the only people that listened were the guys at Treks and Sci-Fi on the forum. Yeah. And they gave us feedback like, okay, you have this echo in your show. And like, why is one of you on one channel and one on the other? That bothers me. You know, it was almost like our experiment.
And that's funny because I was editing at first and I like that. But I mean, that's just a matter of preference. I like feeling like they're on opposite sides.
Some people were saying, I listen in my car. And so when you're on one speaker and Jen's on the other, it's kind of hard for me to hear.
I think it was more because I always listen to podcasts in my headphones. So because then also, I knew who was who on other podcasts where people kind of sounded the same. Then it made more sense who was who when they were in different speakers.
That makes sense. Yeah, because we not only did we listen to Treks and Sci-Fi, but our other favorite show that both of us listened to was Geeks On.
Oh,
which is still going. It's still going on.
It's still sort of going.
Is it still sort? They kind of gave us kind of like a template for our own show and the way that we styled
it. We did. We did kind of style it after them since we were a multiple person podcast because mm-hmm. Rico had a little different setup since it's just him. Mm-hmm. And so we did have and they even read one of my emails on their show.
I remember.
And when we started listening to them, we had no idea like how connected they were to the actual industry. Because one of the guys, his sister's Christina Hendricks.
Yep. Aaron Hendricks.
Aaron Hendricks. And he was my favorite always. Yeah. And so that was...
I thought Don was your favorite.
Oh, I love Don. Don's the one that friended me on Facebook. And it's weird because like he's never unfriended me because I guess I've never posted anything like too offensive to him. But I enjoy seeing some of the stuff that he posts because he's like in the industry. Like he is a game designer. The other guys too are like actors that I've seen on TV. What's his name? Matt Yang King. The other two guys are writers. They were really good friends with Bear McCreary, who did the music for
Battlestar Galactica.
And they were good friends with Lisa Lasik, who was the, I don't know why I remember this, you know, my whatever, who was the editor of Firefly. And then that means that Joss was on their show. So like they ended up having like the coolest people and they had a very good show, but I can understand how their lives, you know, are so busy that they cannot do the show very much anymore. But I hope they know how much they influenced us, them and Rico, of course, more personally, obviously.
Yeah. And he's just such a good friend of ours now. He even comes to Austin Comic Con all the way from Michigan, Detroit, Michigan. His con is probably way more exciting than ours, but he would rather come all the way down here to hang out with our friends and us.
Well, he goes to the one in Chicago, I think.
He goes to Chicago. He goes to Detroit's Comic Con and is planning a trip to Las Vegas to the Trek one.
Oh, we've been talking about doing that.
That's on our bucket list. One of these days. Yeah, we started through the help of our friends, became this mm-hmm. podcast, and it's been so much fun. Anomaly is now part of just who I am. It's awesome to think that a technology like this not only just helps you get in touch with who you are, but make friends, because my circle of friends was so narrow before I started this podcast. And now I have friends all over the world I have never met before, but who I converse with almost every day. And they're just like me. You know, they have the same interests. And, you know, one of these days I'll get around to visiting, you know, my friends Rick and Amy Moyer in Washington and Meds in England and Rico in Detroit. I mean, there are so many people I want to go see just because of this show.
I mean, it does feel like we definitely have kind of a small group, but they're from everywhere.
Yeah.
That's the cool part about this is that it's just from everywhere. And the other funny thing is that people that I'm friends with in life, like, don't listen to the show.
I know, right? And I'm like, how come you don't listen?
Jen does.
Do you not love me?
Jen listens to the show. And Stephanie will binge the show. She won't listen for a while, and then she'll listen to, like, 10 episodes. But Jen does listen because she drives around a lot. I get it because I don't really listen to the podcast that much either because of how my life is. And I listen to ours and I listen to Anomaly Supplemental, but I don't listen to like a bunch of other shows just because it's hard to.
It is so hard nowadays.
you know, some of it is not just about the show. It's kind of about the community, you know, doing the blog and having the Facebook group and that kind of stuff. I feel like that is part of it too. It's not just about the show. The show is the anchor. I think the whole message of Anomaly is a thing.
I agree.
So, I mean, so that's kind of like, I guess, how we got started and some of our influences or whatever. And then, my gosh, what was going on in 2007?
Let's see. When did Revenge of the Sith come out?
Oh, that was 2003. Oh,
okay.
Or no, 2005.
Yeah, I think that was.
Yeah, because that was when we got when I got married.
Okay, 2005. I'm thinking about when I started working at the same company as you did. And that
right.
was just
and that's
come
when
out.
I started listening because it was right after my honeymoon when I came back when you introduced me to podcasts. Yeah. Like in general.
Oh, my gosh.
That's when we started listening.
And I remember. Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
You were talking about how Geeks On read one of your emails Yay! That you sent them. I remember when Rico read our email for the first time. And you would have thought that we were on like some national television news station or something.
We had been listening to him for a while. And it wasn't our email. It was like a video. We did like an audio thing,
oh
didn't we?
Oh, my gosh, yes. Well, yeah,
I think
we
sent him an audio comment. I'm not sure how we did that, but we did. I think this community is just the best for us. I mean, it's been good for us all the way around.
That's probably why we're still doing it.
Yeah, that is why we're still doing it, is because we have this group of people that is just so amazing and have become part of our lives that we just enjoy. And the thing is, we do pick up new people all the time. And that's cool. And even though my husband like does not listen to the show, he does tell everybody about us. And one of the girls that he works with, he just started a new job like a year ago and told her about the show. And now she listens and she's on the group and she's everywhere. So, and that's the thing is that the message is spreading. We just have to like get it out there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Move over, Felicia Day.
Oh, it's not the same. See, to me, it's not the same thing.
Oh, I'm kidding. I'm just saying that, you know, it's like she kind of started it, you know,
mm-hmm,
like
she did.
That being a geek is not a, you know, a bad thing, and this is the way I am, and you can accept me as mm-hmm. who I am or whatever. And we were there for that. Mm-hmm. And I think we're partially a product of it.
I agree with that. And it really has a lot to do with our generation too, yeah. I think. Somewhere between Felicia Day and Will Wheaton is us. We were part of a world where it was important to... We talked about this a little bit on our video game shows.
Yeah, the 90s grunge one.
80s and 90s. Mm-hmm. You know, technology is a big part of this. It really is. And we literally grew up with all this stuff. When all of this stuff was getting big, so were we. We were growing up at the same time as technology and video games and the internet and all that stuff. And so I think it's kind of natural for someone with even a passing interest in this kind of thing to be kind of geeky like we
yeah,
are.
Yeah. I know people who are my age who don't even know how to use the internet. They just choose not to. Yeah.
Yeah.
But mm-hmm. I remember when emails hit the scene.
Oh, me too.
I remember when the internet became a thing.
Yeah, I had friends that were programmers like right before, like when .coms were huge, and they got fired when .coms mm-hmm, crashed. Mm-hmm. We have been part of that whole technology deal.
Yeah.
And it's just been so much part of our growing up that I feel like it's weird to me when people our age don't get it.
It is.
And I'm not saying that that's bad because everybody has their thing. I mean, there's definitely things I don't get and that, you know, whatever. But I mean, it's just been so part of who we are. You know, it just resonated with us. And I think that's okay. And so podcasting to me, for us, was like a natural step.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's
turning into a pumpkin. But okay, we're good.
Oh, your daughter's having an issue?
No. She's fine.
Okay.
She's fine. As long as I'm looking at her, she thinks she's okay. Anyway, she's saying mama, only under duress.
Aww,
that's another normal thing that I did is I got married and I had two babies. I'm like as normal as it gets when it comes to that kind of stuff.
We used to get emails all the time about how people loved hearing our kids on the show. I used to freak out and stress out every time Aaron made a noise on the show because he was disrupting the show and like I couldn't concentrate with him throwing things at me and you know, whatever. But people liked that about us. You know, they liked that our kids ran in and tore up all their clothes and made us laugh.
Oh, yeah. I listened to that episode not too long ago, and that is pretty funny. And I remember that. I remember what he was doing. He was just dancing around being silly.
Yeah, Russell,
he did. He's so embarrassed if he was still in here. He left the room.
It's kind of like our podcast has become kind of like a little time capsule.
It has.
Because we have documented some life-changing events on this show.
Because right after the show started, I got pregnant with Russell. And so he's been around pretty much for most of... Okay, you heard that.
Yeah. And then you could hear him growing up on the show. And then I announced Aaron. And he's been on the show several times, like our How to Tame Your Dragon episode. And I'm like, he's been in and out. He and Russell both have been on our show, kind of like cameo appearances. And then Angela had a life-threatening thing happen to her that she announced.
Life-threatening. I mean, I had some cancer.
Something like that. And then she got to announce when she was cancer-free.
Then I had this other little one. So it's all come kind of full circle. It really has. It really has. It's totally come full circle on here.
People can like look at picture albums to see, oh, this is when you were two and this is when you're one. Mm-hmm. We can actually play them. Episodes. Yeah. This is when your mommy was talking about what an annoying brat you were being on the show. Because there's an episode of Aaron screaming bloody murder as David is buckling him into his car seat to take him home. Dear. Do you remember that? You did this whole skit about, you know, the Monty Python. The violence inherent in the system.
Oh, yes. Because I was like, help. I'm being repressed.
Yes.
Yes. Because that's like a bit. It's been so long since Russell's been in that stage. But like when he was in the stage where he was throwing fits all the time, like around like Terrible Twos kind of era. And it's been so long since he's been like that. I had forgotten. But yeah, whenever he would throw a fit, and I'm sure I'll do it with when she starts getting that way, which is probably going to be pretty soon. I'd be like, help. I'm being repressed. Can't you see the violence inherent in the system?
Yeah, at the time it was annoying, but hearing ourselves laugh during those episodes makes me laugh. But
yeah,
what are some of your favorite episodes?
Oh my gosh. Well,
like and then the latter 4.5 years.
I didn't. And see, I should have put it together.
See, I haven't made a list either, but I have them in the top of my head.
Well, I know that I love the Star Wars experiment. That's going to be one of my top five all the time. Which is in our archive because I really thought that was a cool idea. Like when everybody was starting their nerd podcast, everybody was doing a review of Star Wars. And our review completely sucked butt. Like, it was really horrible. Like, we tried to even do... Remember when we tried do, like, a... What did we try to do?
Mystery Science Theater.
It was kind of a Mystery Science Theater or just a commentary where you could listen. Original idea was that we could do the podcast and you could play it and then you could listen to us talk while you watched. It was stupid. Like, it was horrible. We were just like, oh, that's pretty. That's nice. That's like this part. I love these. you know, it was just so like it was not compelling at all. Then somehow we got in the conversation with that girl at work and I was like, oh, this is what we should do. I mean, it's a total noob. Like, you don't come across that very often.
Yeah, she had never seen Star Wars before.
She had literally never seen Star Wars before, and she was such a good sport and watched it with us. I mean, with us, for us. And then we interviewed her about it, and it was really a cool idea, and I want us to do more stuff like that that's a little more out of the box. And we have done, I mean, by doing Worst of Trek and that kind of thing, I think it started that sort of out of the box anomaly thinking, trying to like contribute something that other people hadn't. I don't know, that has been very important to me to not just be reproducing what other people are doing, but also really having something of our own. So to me, that exemplifies that. I really like the speaking of Monty Python, I really liked doing the Monty Python episode with the guys from Waffle On.
Just you Americans say Python wrong.
Okay. Python. Okay. Okay. All right. Go, Jen.
All right. Well, as you can hear, we have Meds and Kel on the other line over in England. Those English types over there, the English pig dogs.
That's not very nice. Yeah.
I fought in your general direction.
Now, that's not something you get told every day.
Know. And the Shaun of the Dead, really, yes. too. But Monty Python, I would put a little above it just because it's Monty Python, you know. And let me think. Oh, I also enjoyed... all of the controversy we got from Star Trek 2009.
Oh my gosh, the crap hit the fan there.
Dude, that was awesome. I really had fun there. I really did.
Whenever we review something immediately, you know, it's just kind of our immediate reaction. I mentioned again, because I had mentioned it in 2009, that I wasn't exactly happy with how it was portrayed. And it wasn't necessarily because I feel like Uhura has to be some kind of great feminist icon. It's more because that's what they set her up to be. That's what in Star Trek it is. If you have a girl come on to be an Orion slave girl, that's the purpose that they've always had in the story. But Uhura represented a breakthrough for race, for gender, and that she was a member of the crew. And for the, you know, decades later version of it to reduce her to a couple of punches to a Klingon and still being Spock's girlfriend, and that's basically what motivates her in most of the things that she does, you know, it reduces her importance. And by reducing her importance, you're reducing the importance of all the women in the series. Now, do I understand that the series is what it is? It's male dominated, etc. I know that that's true. And I'm also okay with that fact in a lot of places. I get that a lot of things that we like are male dominated, and I have accepted that to some extent. But because it's so counter to what Gene Roddenberry originally meant, that's my problem. You know, it, to me, it goes back to how I feel about costuming. If you want to be Red Sonja and dress up in the skimpiest bikini that you want to have, you go right ahead and do it. But if you dress up like Mal or Zoe and you decide to dress in the skimpiest bikini, I have a problem with that because that's not true to the essence of what those characters are supposed to be. I'm going to be a sexy Vader. I'm going to be sexy whatever. That is diminishing to you. But if you have a good body and you want to show it off, pick a character that has a skimpy costume. And, you know, then it's true to the story. And I feel like it's kind of the same point. You can be feminist and still show your body, and you can be feminist and still be a girlfriend. But in this particular instance, just talking about Star Trek, I don't think Uhura is always treated well. And I wish that they would get it and still be able to show her as sexy and strong and awesome and beautiful and have her be something more than just Spock's girlfriend.
Were people mad at me? What was the deal?
There were a lot of people who
They thought I was just being a jerk. I don't know, but it was really fun.
A lot of people thought that we were being too critical of the relationship between Spock and Uhura. And we just were like, no, no. We were not into that at all. Because it made Uhura into something that...
A chick.
Just like the love
went
interest.
Backwards. Yeah, and I stick to that.
Like this, back in the 60s, Uhura's character was game-changing.
It was game-changing, and it was totally, like, iconically, like, a forward-thinking idea of a woman, not to mention a woman of color, being not only part of the crew, but really part of the crew, and not being a love interest by design.
Yes.
That is important. And yes, maybe in the 60s, she wasn't as important as the guys were. That's not the point. It was still a step up. And by 2009, it should have been 30 steps up.
Yeah.
From that. Instead of really going back to, oh, it's Spock's chick.
Yeah.
That's her job.
You know, the argument was, well, she interpreted the Klingon language, which made her more important. It's like,
I don't care.
Sorry.
That was... I'm trying to think. Oh, recently, though, I liked...
Dynamics
obviously
of
talking about 2000... Oh, yeah, the raid group was so fun.
That was one of my favorite, too.
The raid group was so good. It's so fun.
It's called Dynamics of Raid... our raid group and our friends. Mm-hmm. Something like that.
Real life dynamics of raid groups.
Yeah.
I thought it was really good. Like, that was really
It was fun, and it was your idea. And we invited our real-life friends, Stephanie and Jen, because they're part of the clique that we were talking about of best friends that we have. We talked about how our friendship was basically equivalent to a raid group, and how, you know, you're a tank, Stephanie's an off tank, Jen's a healer, and I'm a ranger, or some of us in the group thought I was a rogue, so I'm a ranger rogue. And then we equated that to how it works like in casts for television shows and movies,
right,
and in sports teams, and you know, you can find raid groups in everything.
We were at Renaissance Festival, it was just the four of us, and this weird guy who we think was on X was like being real weird. I mean, I don't know how else to explain it. And Jen, if you ever meet her in person, she's the coolest person, but she doesn't scream, "Oh, come hug me." She just doesn't. And not everybody's really like that, but I think if you were just a random stranger, you would get the vibe from Jen that you shouldn't just come up to her and give her a smooch. However, this guy did not read those signals very well, and I think she was so stunned. It was just exactly like it. Here's my squishy ranger in nothing but leather armor, and a mob comes up on her so close and so surprisingly that she was stunned. She got hit by a stun spell. And so even though she would normally be able to react very quickly and shoot him right in the face, she didn't know what to do. And so as her tank, I got in there and I got her away, pulled aggro, talked to him, and then he went and randomly made out with his girlfriend, which was really
weird. Was watching the whole thing.
Who was watching the whole thing.
Creepy.
And it took everyone a second to recover from the stun.
I think, however, what you guys need to talk about here is Jin's reaction after the stun wore off. Because it is proof positive she is indeed a rogue.
Okay.
And not just a nice ranger elf who's just frolicking with forest animals. Because by the time we got back to camp and everybody had realized how creepy this whole situation is, Jen would have killed him.
Yeah.
She was just like, if I was not stunned, I'd have murdered the man.
Yeah, but she's...
And she would have, like, karate chopped his throat. And windpipe down, there it would have been, like, dead.
And then we challenged people, like you were saying, you know, listeners to identify with a specific classification and how they fit into their own groups. And it really resonated with people. It's one of our most popular episodes. And it was a lot of fun to record because basically it was just us being us with our friends. And even the recording style was different because we just had like
a recorder, kind of a round table.
Yeah, like a recorder sitting on a table as we were just talking.
Raid group dynamics.
All these episodes we're talking about we'll link in our show notes.
The other old one I thought about was when we did the takeover of Rico's podcast with the old, that was an old one, but it was it was the ship in a bottle. And that's the one that gave me the idea for Worst of Trek. Because when we started talking about that one, I had remembered it fondly, but then when I watched it in order to be critical, I was like, this episode kind of sucks. It didn't. You know what I mean?
It would be because all he says is, well, guess we got to get you checked out by the doctor now. I mean, something that is not physically possible has just happened, and everyone seems pretty nonplussed about it. I mean, this is like complete miracle. Something
he
has
called
gone
it a miracle.
Completely wrong. Yeah, but he's just like, "What a miracle! Isn't this a great miracle?" It's like, this is a miracle.
He's like
light shining down from the heavens.
Gamma quadrant golf clap.
I know, but that's all we get is the golf.
There was a lot more that I was kind of critical of than I thought I was going to be. And so it was sort of fun to do it. Recently, though, I really enjoyed doing Independence Day.
Yeah.
That's a movie I've loved forever. And so I was excited. And we totally did not plan this. But like right around that time, they announced the new one. Like they're doing it's not a reboot. It's like a sequel. It's just a sequel.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of fun. I definitely enjoy all of the stuff that we have done at Con. Like, that stuff has been really fun.
Mm-hmm.
I like those kind of things. I think I really like the ones where we kind of go outside the box and talk about other stuff. That's why I think the raid group one is interesting, because it's more, not necessarily just a review. It's about something else, I guess.
Yeah.
And so
I like those kinds of episodes too, but what I really like doing is just bringing a new idea to a concept that people have already visited. like when we talked about Anakin the Creepy Creeper.
Yeah.
It was a review that we did on Attack of the Clones, and we really dissected the character of Anakin and how he is really like a man that is obsessed with a woman. And I'm going to say something that's probably going to be...
Ooh, do it.
He's a creepy-ass creeper. He's a creeper.
He's totally a creeper in a weird way.
Seeing it again makes me go back to Revenge of the Sith and go, okay, maybe this didn't happen so quickly as I thought it did. Mm-hmm. Because I see him as being a psychopath.
Mm-hmm.
He has that tendency to, and I think it's all his fixation on women began. I mean, I could see, maybe he kills small animals off screen. I don't know. It's just that look in his eye and the way some of his lines, even before he even started talking to Padme, he tells Obi-Wan, I'd much rather dream about Padme. Just being around her is
so
intoxicating.
Creepy. And it's so creepy.
Obi-Wan, why didn't Obi-Wan chide him about that instead of you know his lightsaber skills and
but that's the thing though, is that like, and also I want to say that I honestly do not blame Hayden Christensen. I feel bad about that because honestly, and I had been going through my life feeling like Natalie Portman did a good job in this movie. She doesn't. I used to think that she did, but she doesn't. And I don't think that's her fault either, because she's an excellent actress. I've seen her in other things that I love her in. She's been an excellent actress for a very long time, and she can't even do it. And that's why I started the show the way that I did. Either she was being directed into a hole where she had to deliver the lines that way, or she was just not giving it any direction at all, and it was just this dialogue and she was just phoning it in. I don't know, but I think both of them just are terrible, and their chemistry is terrible. And then you're right. I wrote down, it's so funny you said that, because I wrote down when he says something about how I don't think she likes me watching, like when she's sleeping. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm going to have to edit that. Holy. That is gross and horrible. And the way he says it is so gross.
And the fact that Obi-Wan let him after he says, I wish I could just dream about her. And he's the one that gets to watch over her. The Jedi kind of let him be. They kind of like fed it, and he became this thing that ended up bringing down the Republic because they didn't notice that his obsession with this one woman was a thing. And then when we did the episode on Revenge of the Sith, which you very eloquently called
Subtle as a Frat House. Yes.
Well, George Lucas hit us over the head. This is what I'm trying to tell you. You know,
it's the idea, people. It's
this
the
is the
idea.
Idea.
That it's happening. That
it's like, all right, do you have to hit me that hard? Just let me figure it out for myself. Thank you.
There's a little thing called subtlety.
Yeah.
Jeez.
And of course, the Shaun of the Dead episode is one of my favorite. Mm-hmm. We did like this little like skit at the beginning, which was so much fun, where you and I played like the zombie helpline, and Ned's called in to ask for help because he was being attacked by zombies, and we were trying to put him on hold and refer him to our superiors or whatever.
Your call is very important to us. Please hold.
Anomalous Zombie Help Desk. Jen speaking. How may I help you today?
Ah, hello. Yes, I wonder if you can help me.
Name, please.
Sorry?
Simon,
look, I do rather need your help. You see, I have some rather nasty-looking zombies banging on the door.
What state are you in, sir?
Oh, well, I'm in a pretty distressed state, I can tell you.
No, sir. Which state are you calling me from?
I'm not in the US.
Oh, okay. Where are you then?
Worcestershire.
Worcestershire?
No. It's Worcestershire.
Like Lord of the Rings?
No, not like... Look, I need help. I'm in England, damn it.
Okay, no need to get rude.
What do you mean, okay? Look, I need some advice.
One moment, please.
Oh, God, I don't have a moment. The windows are smashed. They're going to get in.
Just putting you through to our international office.
Well, look, can't you just... Ah, hello. Look, I've just been put through to...
Name, please?
I've already given my name to the last lady.
I can't help you, sir, if you don't give me your name.
But the zombies have their arms through the door. I'm running...
Sir, please.
It's Simon. Look, my mate Kel has already lost his legs.
Oh, you need lost and found. Let me transfer you.
No. I mean he's lost his legs to a ravenous zombie dog.
Zombie dog?
Well, you know what dogs are like. They love the sniff of a good bone.
One moment, sir. Let me bring my associate back online.
Look, please. Look. What should I do? They are nearly on me and Kelly's starting to turn a bit of an off colour. He looks like Donald Trump in a windstorm.
What's going on? He says his friend's been nibbled by a zombie dog.
A bit more than nibbled. He's had a two-course lunch.
Two courses?
No, he's had his meat and two veg.
Do they bark?
What?
Zombie humans don't talk. They mumble about brains. What about zombie dogs? Do they bark or do they sort of grumble growl?
You're wasting my time. I need your help. What do I do?
What about zombie cats? Got any of those running around?
What?
Or a zombie parakeet. That would be funny. It would just keep pecking the mirror, think it was eating itself. I don't think zombies are cannibalistic. True. What state are you in, sir? I think he's in a bit of a delicate state. Oh, well. Lunch? Great idea, but can we go somewhere that serves salad?
And then the Lower Decks episode with Sue and Casey, talking about one of the best episodes of Star Trek.
Well, and also I remembered we had Rico on to do a Worst of Trek for TOS.
Yes.
And that was really fun.
Yeah. When Hippos
attack.
That was
horribly awesome. I love it.
And I really loved our video game series that we did. We still have one more to do. Like the 2000s.
We have the thousands.
2000s. But we did Girls Just Want to Have Fun. That was our 1980s video game series or episode where we talked about the games that we played as girls. And then we moved on to the 1990s, which was grunge and the games we rocked. And we talked a lot about kind of like what we were doing in, you know, in the 90s and what type of people we were. And then growing up geeky was fun because we got to talk about how we kind of came to our geek.
Yeah.
You were born into it. I had to... eventually accept it because I was
I don't
always
know
a geek,
that I was born into it but yeah
you were making Sarlacc pits at a child you know as a young
we
child.
Were like I was not discouraged from being geeky
neither was I
kind of just I was a little weird to begin with so I just sort of owned it. I was always the smallest. I was a little talkative and weird and so I just like turned into the skid.
Yeah.
You were just normal enough to get by. And so then you felt like you had to stay normal, where I was weirder to begin with. And so I just sort of went, yeah, I guess I'm just weird.
I was a true anomaly. I had friends who were geeks and I had friends who were popular. And I wanted to maintain that balance. And I was afraid that if I admitted to everyone that I was into all these things, that they would all reject me. Except
for the geeks. Though, and we probably talked about this on this episode, but... on that episode, but it's been a really long time, so I don't remember. But I feel like for me, it didn't really occur. I didn't like consciously say these things are, you know, at the time, I didn't consciously say these things are weird. I'm not going to do them or these things are weird. I'm not going to tell anyone about them. I just did what I wanted to do. didn't really, and the thing is, like, I really did, like, in middle school, which is the most horrible time of anyone's life.
Oh, God, yes.
In middle school, like, I really wanted to be popular, but I also really wanted to be in choir. And so I was in choir. That was very unpopular to be, but I wanted to sing. So I didn't really care,
yeah.
You know? So even that drive to be noticed and popular didn't really affect me or change me from being who I was, even in retrospect, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think, well, if I really wanted to be popular, there's these things I could have done that I just rejected just because it's like, well, that's not what I want to do.
In case I ever misled anyone, I wasn't, like, overly popular. I wasn't the cheerleader. I wasn't the, you know, girl everyone wanted to date. I was just friends with those people. And through osmosis was popular. Like, people knew who I was. But I wasn't the homecoming queen or anything like that. But when your mentor chastises you for liking Star Trek, then you start to think that it's weird. And that's
kind of what
happened.
And was that when you were in high school?
It was. And that's when it happened,
I
guess.
See, I had like the exact opposite thing happen to me in high school. Because when I started doing theater, I mentioned, because I had already been watching TNG for a long time, for a while, a couple of years. And I happened to mention it just because I, you know, that was just something I watched. I didn't really consider it to be weird.
Mm-hmm.
And my mentor was like, oh, you like Star Trek? It was the opposite. It was like,
that's awesome.
Oh my gosh, we like Star Trek too. And yeah, so I was completely embraced for it.
I still love my mentor and I don't want to like denigrate her because she really helped me be who I am. But at the same time, you know, everyone makes mistakes. And one of the things she said when I was discussing an episode of Star Trek TNG with a friend of mine, she was like, oh, Jen, not you too. Like that was her reaction. I was like, oh my God, what did I do? And so I always kept it from then on to myself. I didn't share it openly because I thought it was something that was wrong, you know?
Aww.
So until I met you, and then I was able to let my geek flag fly. So
that sounds weird, but yeah.
Yeah, it does.
With you.
Weird,
I'm,
but, you know.
I'm okay. I'm glad that you feel that way. Makes me a little uncomfortable, but I am okay with it.
Here's a few others. I'm going to ramble them off really fast.
Okay.
Janestown. When we talked about Janestown from Firefly, Galaxy Quest, we reintroduced that to our feed recently, but it's been in our archive for a while. All of our Comic-Con videos. I love going to Comic-Con with you guys, hanging out, and getting to meet other people. The other thing is, like, being in cosplay, at first, is kind of weird because the walk from the hotel to the convention to meet is uncomfortable.
Ah.
I know it's different than for you, but I just want to briskly walk there because I don't want anyone to ask me questions and look at me strangely. I am still like that. I can't help it. But when I get there, I am at home and I feel comfortable.
It's nice, isn't it?
It is nice. And it's fun to be creative. I have a Bachelor of Fine Arts degree, and getting to use that to do something fun, like creating cosplay, is just, it's freeing. Having it noticed at a convention mm-hmm. is also just something that really speaks to me. And being with a bunch of people that I love who are doing the same thing is just mm-hmm. like one of the highlights of my year, every year. And so, yeah. Like, for that reason, I love those episodes.
We have a dissenting opinion.
Oh.
Just kidding.
She's like, boo!
Boo! She can only hear me, so... I was going to ask you if maybe we can save the email for another show, or...
We can save it.
And also, we've already been talking for...
An hour.
An hour, and we still have to put in, like,
the little
thing
clips
I'm going to make.
No, definitely. So. If you send us an email or you gave us a rating on iTunes, thank you so much. We plan on using that email or voicemail that
yes.
you sent us in the next episode. This one's just becoming so big
yes.
that it won't fit in. But thank you so much. And we really appreciate everyone who has tweeted to us or who has shared our posts or, you know, whatever. We are encouraged by your feedback,
mm-hmm.
your messages, and... You know, we do this thing because it's fun, and the two of us would talk about it anyway if you weren't listening, but it makes it all the more rewarding when we know that people are listening and they want to join in the conversation. If you ever have any comments about our episode, we would love for you to send that to us or rate us on iTunes, because that helps other people find us and it really does a lot for our show. So just take a few minutes and give us a star or two or three or four or five, five preferably, but you know, whatever you think we deserve would be awesome. I think we should give shout outs to the people on the Facebook group. Thank you to Sue and Casey, who came along yep. in 2010 and helped
yes,
us when we were having...
Yes, thank you so much.
Yeah, we hope you guys are listening to their episodes too. We know you are. We're seeing the stats. They came along when I was pregnant and when Angela was going through chemotherapy, and they helped us to keep putting episodes out there. And mm-hmm. they've really contributed a lot to Anomaly since that time, and we really appreciate them. And then also all of our blog writers who continue to put really interesting articles up on our blog that people can go to and read, that like Noah and Lynn and Michelle and who else, Angela? Sarah, she sometimes contributes. I know.
Did we say Michelle?
Yeah, we did.
Said Michelle, Noah,
Casey, Sue. They also post.
Obviously, yes, yeah. Casey and Sue. I don't remember. Oh gosh,
it's okay.
I feel horrible now.
All of our podcast friends who share our tweets and tell their listeners about
and
us
anyone
and
who listens
promos.
That's never said a thing. We love you too.
Yes, thanks so yeah. much for listening for all these years.
If there's a show we've talked about that you can't find for whatever reason, email us and we'll point you in the right direction.
Exactly. So you can find all of our episodes in our menu on our website at anomalypodcast.com. That's A-N-O-M-A-L-Y podcast.com. Look under bonus or under category. Under category, you'll see everything we've ever talked about listed there. Just click on it. You can find blog posts and episodes, all that stuff.
Cheers.
Here's to 9 years and 9 years more. If
that's
podcasts
right.
exist that long.
It would be cool. Thank you guys for listening.
Thank you.
I'm Angela.
And I'm Jen. And you've been listening to the Anomaly Podcast, where female and fandom converge. We apologize that the show may stink this first time around, but hey, we're baby podcasters, and
that's okay.
And nobody's podcast sounds really good the first time.
That's true.
You know, a lot of podcasts never come out the first ones. Mm-hmm. They're like thrown away, and you never hear about them. You just hear about how awful they are. At least that's what I hear from you. If it's a Mr. Bowl, they won't ever play their first podcast because they said it was just hideous. It was horrible.
We'll just play this and see what happens. I guess
we're both artists. I'm a studio artist, and my profession is a graphic artist, so...
And I direct plays.
Yes, you are quite the dramatic, and I think that's probably going to come across in the podcast, which is a good thing, because I'm probably not as lively. So we need some type of balance, some yin and yang.
I guess. I think that makes sense.
Carl, I was doing it.
You're doing it?
Okay,
yes.
Go. I'm sorry.
Okay. Outtake.
That's what the
pink shirt
meant.
Okay.
Okay.
Quiet right. on the set.
We're going to give him a red shirt if he's not careful. Anomaly. Something that deviates from what is standard, normal, or expected. An oddity, peculiarity, irregularity, and consistency. Nah. Okay. Maybe I better practice. An oddity. Peculiar. Dave? You want to do it? There's too many multi-syllable words.
You want me
words.
To do it?
Me. No, it needs to be somebody manly.
Wait, so what are you wanting to do? Like the intro?
Yeah, he's just doing... This is our podcast.
I think he should read it like he was a while ago, and then you clear your throat and finish.
But...
Okay, so explain what this is, Angela.
An oddity.
What is
peculiarity.
We're an anomaly is the name of our podcast.
Inconsistency.
And... What
incongruity? Is that it? Incongruity?
Yeah.
I like his real voice when he is just doing kind of gym
so
announcer voice.
To do the intro.
Yeah, he's doing the intro. So we can just paste it in later? Is that the idea?
Anomaly. Something that deviates from what is standard, normal, or expected. An oddity. Peculiarity. Irregularity. Inconsistency. Incongruity. A rarity.
That's your voice.
Shut up.
Oh, that's yours? You're one to talk?
All right. I'm glad we can cut this. Okay, everybody quiet now. Hello. Hello, and welcome to the Anomaly Podcast. I'm Angela.
And I'm Jen.
And we're friends.
And we're pimping your laugh.
That's your part.
You laughed.
I know.
It worked.
You wrote this.
I know.
Oh, this is the second page. We have to pimp the other yeah. side. Oh, we were going to be sitting next to each other. Hi.
Hello. I'm Angela.
And I'm Jen.
And this is the Anomaly Podcast.
It is our first episode.
Yes.
And it's probably going to be full of really bad mistakes.
I'm sure it is.
Yes. Good times.
Don't say that. That's not the kind of podcast it is.
Okay. What are we doing this week?
Well, we'll just kind of go over what we plan to make this podcast into.
Okay.
This is a podcast that's it's going to be based on sci-fi and fantasy. And basically, we noticed that there aren't very many women out there doing this kind of thing. And,
nope.
And there are a few, and to those, we salute you. And
yes.
Live long and prosper, and may the force be with you and all that. But we're going to join the fray and bring some new blood to sci-fi podcasts.
New girly blood.
Yes. I won't say good times.
Okay.
Okay.
You have the outline. You gotta tell me what's up.
Here, you drive.
Okay. Oh, okay. Did you just stop it? Well... there's going to be several things that we're talking about. First of all, this will be the one thing that will be, I know, a lot different, except for the fact that we're girls, is that we are actually going to talk about other podcasts too, because that's one of the geeky things that we do, is we listen to other podcasts.
We listen to lots of, we're fans of podcasts, so
yes.
We'll be suggesting some of our favorite podcasts.
And also, I know that we'll be not necessarily quoting, but we might bring up topics.
We'll refer to them and suggest yeah. them. And
yes.
Hopefully one day we'll even be able to interview some of them. And
mm-hmm.
some of those podcasts that influenced us are Treks in Sci-Fi.
Yes.
Our friend Rico.
Hey, Rico.
And the Geeks On
Geeks
podcast.
Geeks On is
one of
my
our favorites. And also one of my favorites is Star Wars Galaxies with Yivitz and Mr. Bubble. An
That's
odd
awesome.
Name, but a very funny, funny podcast.
Cool.
Yes.
So... it seems like we went a lot better
this is
when we...
dead. This is what they would
this
call
is dead,
dead
air.
But since we're not selling anything, it doesn't matter.
We should have two copies of this thing.
Yeah.
It kind of was Jim was here because he tells the story the best, but
oh, yes.
These guys came up and one of them had, one of them had two tattoos. He had a tattoo on one arm of Dimebag Darrell from Pantera. And so all he did was come up to us and go, "You guys like Dimebag Darrell? Huh? You like Dimebag Darrell? You like Pantera?" And we were all like, "Oh my God.
What? Don't make eye contact.
Don't make eye contact." And then and then he pulls down his other arm and he goes, "You guys like Johnny Cash? Do you like Johnny Cash?" I like Johnny Cash.
I talk like this normally.
We have mullets.
Gross.
No, we
and
don't.
We play hours and hours of MMOs in our basements.
No. What were we talking about today? Oh. About who's hotter, Han Solo or Anakin?
Yeah.
And I said that Han Solo
is
hotter.
I agree. Han Solo is very hot, but you know what? I think that the argument could be made that Anakin did become a little more on the hottish side once he turned to the dark side.
See, I feel like even as a bad boy, he didn't get bad enough to be hot. It's my opinion.
You're it's entitled opinion. To that opinion.
I know. I think Han Solo is hotter. And he's
pretty
hot.
Much he stunk it up the entire prequel,
mm-hmm.
but the bad boy thing made up for it a little bit.
Just a little bit, though. You could
no.
be a so much
as long as he didn't say anything.
If he
it was
just
working
standing there
for
being
me.
Pretty. It's been a long road.
Getting from there to here.
It's been a long time.
But my time is finally here. And I will see my dreams come alive at last.
I will touch the sky. Hold me down, no, no. No, they're not gonna change. Okay.
Oh, man, the best part was coming up.
Because I've got faith of the heart. No, take me. Okay.
I can do anything.
I've got
strength.
Oh, strength. I'm a television junkie.
And the real world stumps me.
I got a lot of problems.
Why doesn't someone solve them? Television junkie, I don't like what I see. I'm a television junkie and the real world stumps me. I'm a television junkie.
Gotta get another fix. A television junkie comes in 30-minute hits.
Television leads to complacency.
The moment you turn on the TV, I've been missing something so bad. A theme song and a laugh track. Here's the song, baby.
Take my love, take my land, take me where I cannot stand.
I don't care,
I'm still free, you can't take the sky from me. Take me out to the black, tell them I ain't not coming back.
Burn the land and boil the sea. You can't take the sky from me.
Boy, this is horrible.
I love it. This is what the people like. This is what they want to hear. Keep going.
There's no place I can be since I found serenity.
You can't take the sky from me.
I did almost all of that from memory. Really, the guitar in that is the best. Yeah. And somewhere, I think on the DVD, they have a recording of Joss actually singing it.
I see a little silhouette of a man. Oh, you do the fandango, thunderbolt and lightning.
Galileo fighting.
Galileo!
Galileo!
Galileo! Galileo Figaro! Oh!
Why did they make her sing a soprano song?
I know, she's totally not a soprano.
Don't ask me.
She's more of an alto.
Again, nitpicking. Rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic.
I made up a song about him. It goes, Kilo, you're my hero. That's all so far.
That's awesome.
So anyway, that's my Hilo song.
I want to do a whole warrior theme for, like, all of us.
That would be awesome.
I want a whole leather... I want, like the leather that's braided leather.
Oh.
Awesome.
We could be Xena.
No, no, no. I look a little too much like Xena.
You do.
And you can be the sidekick. She's too tall to be the sidekick.
Yeah, that's true.
No,
that's
and
true.
I'm also straight.
Be nice to Xena.
Ladies and gentlemen,
yes,
John Williams.
Awkward moment here between Mala and Chewie.
Especially the fact that Chewie picks up the gun before punching his family, and I was like, sweet, this is going to be good.
You said you liked Starbucks.
Yeah. I liked the poker game where she poked the guy in the face.
Yeah, this is the challenge of my life. I play WoW on dial-up because I live out in the country in Texas, and that is always my challenge. People are like, would you duel me? And I'm like, no, I'm on dial-up. My computer can shut down at any moment.
And they're like, back away slowly.
People are like, you can play WoW on dial-up? Very carefully. Very, very carefully.
Who needs Hillary and what's his name? Rosalind for president.
Welcome to Starbucks, I'll be right with you. Sorry about the wait, what can I get for you?
50 Rack DiGino, please.
Anything else?
That'll be it.
All right, 384.
We also talked about interviewing women who were not sci-fi fans.
Oh, yes.
Just to figure out what
we're gonna
what's up with
them
that.
And ask them what their freaking problem is.
Their fracking problem.
Their fracking problem.
The Hammer Quadrant Golf Clap.
I know, but that's all we get is the golf clap. I think if she watched Empire, she would want to watch Jedi. The way that Lucas planned it, Star Wars, A New Hope, was supposed to be able to stand on its own. Mm-hmm. And so it does have a conclusion.
That's why
we
chose.
It's not like watching Fellowship of the Ring where you're like, oh, I just sat here for 3 hours and this stupid story just started.
It's not stupid.
I know. Of course it's not stupid. I love it.
I'm Jen.
And I'm Angela.
And when you're not listening to this glorious podcast, we would love to have you listen to ours, the Anomaly Podcast.
That's anomaly podcast.com.